Welcome to the Not So Fast Podcast, the admins for the Freaky Fast Racing League and the National iRacing League discuss all the league happenings, along with other occasional unnecessary dialogue.
Are you looking to be immersed into your racing rig? Using patented technology, Butt Kicker products connect you to your couch or chair to send the feeling of special effects, explosions, rocket launches, racing engines, music, and much more right through it. It's a new immersive dimension in home entertainment. Thanks for joining us this morning. Today we have Jeff Ramsdell, Keith Fonseca, Michael Gitchell, Patrick Anderson, myself, Dave Gilbert, and our special guest this morning is Kevin Porkchop Gironi. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right, so we usually go over our week in iRacing, any official races, hosted races, or other leagues that we ran this week. Anybody do anything good?
I took dead last at Talladega on Monday. That was awesome.
I took the win over Bo Ross. Yeah. Bumper.
Yeah. I had a good view of that. I was able to watch Thomas and Jeff battling it out. I was right there. I could have affected the win, but I dropped out like a lap or two earlier just to give them a chance to race for it.
Gitchell was there. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be here. No, I'm going to go down and help this person. No, I'm going to go up and help this person.
Yeah, that was after a very, very bad pit entry attempt that I had to wave off and then just was stuck in no man's land the rest of the race.
There's a lot of people that blew their pit.
Yeah, I did. I started slowing down before like my actual mark, and I still just blew my pit and got like a 40-second hold.
I wasn't even able to. It just locked up, and I'm just like on the apron going straight. I'm like, I can't even make the turn.
Yeah, mine just instantly locked up, and I was along for the ride. I mean, I still tried to slow it down, but no way. I didn't have a chance. And Dave, you call yourself a teammate to Bo Ross, and you didn't help push him to the win. I was out of it. I was trying to manipulate the trucks, I was trying to help my teammates.
Yeah,
and then they ended up screwing each other.
Had it been like a different league and the person he was racing was somebody I had no affiliation with, then I would have. But both of them were my buddies, so I didn't want to like screw one over to help the other.
I was in a screw over Jack any day of the week.
That is true.
Then you had me, who forgot to take his quick repair, and then just watched Jeff and Thomas just get smaller and smaller as they drove away from me and Lucas.
I was wondering what happened, because I'm like, you guys came out like 3 seconds, and I'm like, oh, no. And then Thomas is like, all right, I'm just going to run with you. I'm like, all right. Then we kept pulling. I'm like, what is going on?
Well, we were so worried about how much fuel to put in the car. Like, it never like crossed the mind to actually sit there and take that last quick repair, because running in the pack I was perfectly fine. You know, I can keep up and like couldn't tell that there was something wrong, and we're just like, we need to get in quick, and just never crossed either one of our minds to sit there and take the quick repair. And we're going, then you guys just started inching away, and then I was like, all right, let's switch, and maybe that'll make a difference. But I had front damage, and I had rear damage. It didn't matter
if
I was in front or behind. And
Did you pick up before we pit the last time? Did you pick up that we were pushing you and Luke to the front of the pack? Like, we just, you guys were running in the back of the pack, and then we just slowly started stepping out of line up front to get you guys to the front so we could pit behind you and not have you guys pit with us.
We like kind of knew what was going on. It just caught us off guard pitting as early as you did and stuff, because we still had plenty of fuel to go a bunch of more laps, but yeah, you did catch us a bit off guard. I mean, I knew what you guys were doing, like, you know, just shifting behind us, and I'm like, okay, but
yeah, we were wondering
where we were trying to play it off, like, because when you guys got up to second and third, I could tell that you didn't want to pass me, because I was headed to the wood, and you were just riding, and you weren't getting closer, and it's like, these guys are content with just riding. And then Gitchell, he was like, well, I'll change that. And he comes riding up the top. So then I just acted like I was going to block him. Yeah. So then I was like, I just acted like I was going up to block him. And then
there's a Jedi mind trick. These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Is the anti-block.
Yeah, I mean, in the long run, it was me not taking the fastest pair. Because when we came out, we would have been able to latch on to you guys. You guys didn't get that far. It was like,
yeah,
2 seconds.
No, it was like 2 to 3 seconds. Yeah, yeah. You would have been able like to. That.
Well, you would have been better off pitting by yourself, because Patrick and I just blew the entrance into the pit road and just killed the pit stop for everybody, I think.
And then with Lucas behind me, no. Lucas would absolutely have pushed me back up, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We got Monday night, Charlotte. I have a little bit of a point lead, so.
Yeah, I'll be broadcasting that race on Liberty Racing Network, the championship.
Yeah. I think you're safe.
You just ruined his Saturday, Dave.
I got a message into Lucas that the internet cable is going to be cut at the facility at the Keith's place. So
I will say this. Lately, for a bit of time now, I have struggled at Charlotte.
Only four people, you don't got nothing to worry about.
No, so what's the points look like?
You never know.
I'll grab them quick.
I believe it's a 12 points, I think it is.
Yeah, I think I'm up by 12.
Yeah, it's going to be a real bad Hail Mary.
That's what annoyed me, you know, at Dega.
I don't know how I got through that wreck.
I was going to stretch it on you more. If I had stretched it on you more, then it was like over. And then that I was like so annoyed and everything. I was like, it's just my dumb luck that this dumb things happen to me like that.
Yeah. So you basically have it locked up as long as you finish remotely decent then, huh?
It depends on how many people come out too, you know. I mean, the more people come out, you know, makes it more interesting. Yeah. You know, if we only have four come out, then you know.
Oh, I'm sending out some league invites.
And I'm not gonna complain, you know. I mean,
hold on, is Cupcake available to race?
Cupcake. <Yep. laughs>
Yeah, we're gonna get the entire Gasson Go short course.
We're gonna get Cupcake and his dad out there. I race with his dad on a short tracks league Thursday or Friday before the NIL.
Does his dad use mirrors?
No, his dad uses Fireball.
Yeah.
I heard Ryan Cruz is gonna make the race on Monday.
Every time there's a caution, he has a Fireball.
Has anybody else ran any Daytona 500 this week?
I actually totally forgot about it.
I ran a Daytona C-Class truck race yesterday. That was all I did.
I've ran two so far.
Like full length?
Full length.
How far did you make it?
The first one, I shot myself in the foot and finished two laps down, finished 14th, but sped on pit road, and then I think I got caught up. The other one, running up. Both of them, I was doing good. The second one, I'm running up front, and you just were like 25 to go or something like that. And we're going, and was on a restart. Well, from like sixth place back, I was in like 12th or something at this point. And they checked up on inside line because I just want to stay. And I go, hi. I'm like, all right. The top five cars, we're just watching them drive away because all the rest of these numb nuts are like, hey, we need to race and everything right now. And just they're just gapping. And I'm like going, because Luke is spot for me. I'm like, these guys are going to wreck. And like a lap later, that was the end of my race. They're just like acting like complete maniacs. The top five cars had gapped us by like 3 seconds. That's how much they were racing and everything. I was like, whatever. I finished like 26th that one. I was so annoyed and stuff. But I mean, I love super speedways. Everybody knows that. So, you know,
it actually, seems like you're getting annoyed this week.
Man, there's a lot. And look, it's super speedways. I'm getting annoyed at too, you know. Like, yeah. Go figure. Me and Lucas are actually the 12 o'clock one today. We're running that one again. Huh. Knowing me, I'll probably run another one tomorrow.
How bad does that hurt your eye rating?
Believe it or not, I gained eye rating first one, second one. I think I'm only down like 42 right now from the two races.
So I think like they need to fix their eye rating, like plus and minuses. I know like when we ran the 24 hours, we ended up getting 6. And I think I got plus 14 eye rating. That's like, yeah,
like
come
endurance
on.
Races, the endurance races. Like going out and running them, like I don't even care about eye rating, like that makes no sense at all. But like the other, like the Daytona 500, you know, it's just another official race. It's just longer.
Long.
But like when I ran on Thursday, there's 1,000 people that were running that thing. So like this, there was 20 something splits. So everybody in there was right around the same eye rating. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
When I ran on Thursday, actually, Jeff Rickery or whatnot was in my split. I think he finished 3rd for that race. But, yeah, it's just close, though. So it's like it's kind of just more of the top half of the field finish, and you'll gain an eye rating. But, you know,
I gotcha.
These people, they just, you know, they want to race the entire race kind of a thing and not get into the race. And just, I looked on Thursday, I went through all the splits and looked, like, the most cautions in a split was 17. I'm like, I can't imagine how long that race took, because it took, like, close to 3.5 hours to finish mine, and we had 7.
Ooh. How about you, Kevin? You run anything?
Not really this week too much. Been pretty busy with work, but yeah, just last night with you guys so far, and then tomorrow night with FFRL, I'll run the Xfinity cars.
You had your hands full last night.
Yeah, Pocono is not my track, that's for sure. And then I've been running trucks and pretty much all the leagues for a while now, so getting used to the next gen car is definitely something different.
Yeah, you definitely can't drive it like a truck. You gotta...
No, at all. and they don't like brakes either, so
no.
The slowdown isn't too fun.
I was telling the guys in the Discord, I was like, remember when these first came out, these things would brake for like Daytona, you'd be able to brake right down. Now all of a sudden there's like no brakes.
Yeah, I think I missed pit road like twice last night because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we pit together last night, like, poor Chop is in front of me, and, like, he started slowing up so early, I just, like, drove past him like it was nothing hitting pit lane.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the experience part of that. Heath, you've been running the next gen for a while, SDR and all that.
Still hate the car.
Yeah. All right.
Getting to like it.
Yeah, you got to be really finesse with it. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to drive something different. So once you get used to it, it'll be more fun.
The only thing that I can say now is, you know, because I ran Season 4 SDR in Next Gen, I could not control those at all. And now I can finally, it's like I finally have them underneath me. So it's good to know that I can actually drive them.
You don't hate them that much?
I don't hate them as much as I did Season 4. If I never saw Next Gen car again after Season 4, I would have been fine.
Yeah, I remember like his first, Patrick's first race of that season, he talks to me in Discord. He's like, is it like all you're doing is wide open all the way around? Because when the Next Gens first came out, they didn't have the model corrected. And I was like, well, it can be, but you still have to drive the car. And they changed it that year, that season. And it was nothing like wide open all the way around.
No.
All right, but we have some questions for Kevin, Kevin Droney. First question I have is, why do they call you Pork Chop?
Good question. It originated from a league we used to run in. I'd rather not mention. That's pretty much where I met Keith and Lucas. But I live on a farm, and I got a lot of farm animals. And I think I posted a picture of me with a pig. And somebody called me Pork Chop, and from then it stuck. But yeah, it came from iRacing. So
yeah, it's gotten to the point that it is really, really weird calling him Kevin.
There's times I won't answer Keith if somebody calls me Kevin in Discord. I don't answer because I'm like, who's that?
It's like somebody who doesn't know him, and I have to tell myself to call him Kevin and not Porchop, because they won't have no clue whatsoever who we're talking about.
Yeah. I like Daryl Waltrip used to say it when he was broadcasting races. He would call ugly cars, he'd call them Pork Chop, and it would be hilarious. And he'd say, the reason why he calls that car Pork Chop is because it's so ugly a dog wouldn't chase it unless you tie a Pork Chop around its neck. So I always laughed about some of Daryl Waltrip's Darylisms.
But yeah, that guy's a kook.
Ever since then, for some reason, my nickname's the only one that has stuck. Keith's had different nicknames, and Lucas, everybody has something different.
I have had the most nicknames. We could sit here for an hour just with all the things I have been called with. All the time, and some are okay, some of them are interesting, and I probably wouldn't even remember all of them.
Yeah. All right, so let's see. Who is Kevin Droney outside of iRacing? I know you live on a farm.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a big part of it. My wife and I, we call it a hobby farm, but we try to rescue animals in the area that, you know, they're either old or people get into a situation they can't take care of them.
That's awesome.
So you know, we'll try to rescue as many as we can without putting ourselves into debt either. That's a big part of it. And then other than that, just work, and we have three kids, so we're pretty much, our hands are full.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's your labor force for the farm, right?
Well, yeah, right. Well, my oldest is 21. She's at college at Pitt, and then my youngest two are 9 and 11. So they're the workers.
Whereabouts are you from?
I'm from Pennsylvania. It's a small town called Kittnersville. It's 2 hours north of Philadelphia.
Is that up by Punxsutawney?
Not quite that far north, no. But I'm right on the border of New Jersey and Pennsylvania, kind of central PA.
What's your street address?
He lives on a farm. They don't have streets.
I'm on Google Maps right now.
So you're kind of near Port Jervis.
Find all the dirt roads.
you're kind of near Port Jervis.
What's that?
You're kind of near Port Jervis.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, right?
Did you ever find out what show they're taping around you?
Yeah, it's something by Apple, and right now it's just like a working title, they call it. So it's called Catamount, and it's based on some book, but I honestly have no idea what it's going to be when it comes out.
Are you near Scranton?
I'm about an hour south of there. Like, if you look on a map, like, Allentown would probably be the closest big, like, bigger city.
Yeah.
I was up there last year for a go-kart race, and they have another one this year, but I'm not going to be able to make it.
Where is that at?
They go to, where do they go to? They go to Lehigh Valley.
Oh, okay.
Karting, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's Lehigh Valley's, like, 20 minutes, not too far from me. Yeah,
We went there. We had two races. The first one's a regular direction. The other one was reverse, and I ended up winning the reverse race the second time.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I've been there a couple times.
It was like 4 degrees out. Our hands are freaking freezing.
Yeah, I used to race go-karts. That's how I got into racing. When I was 8, I started go-karts. And then once I hit 16, I ran a legend car for a little bit. But then family time took over.
How old of a fella are you?
Yeah, I'm 41.
Sure.
Yeah.
How long have you been on iRacing there, Kevin?
It'll be coming up on 2 years pretty soon.
Okay. You started, not too long.
Yeah, I was a COVID guy. Yeah. Sitting at home, got bored and found this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of us were on Xbox, and then one person would make the switch over, and then another person would, and then we just trickled over to iRacing, and I think it's the best decision we ever made.
Yeah, like I said, it cures the racing bug. It cures the racing bug a little bit that I've had, once you race something for real.
Yeah.
It does stick with you, so it kind of helps.
Because I used to race mini stocks back in the 2000s, and it's not $10,000 on a car that you have to spend.
Yeah, that's kind of what was sad about racing. Like, when I got out of it, it was how much money you could spend at the racetrack was determine your position. You know what I mean? The little guy, like little backyard guy who just wants to go have fun, kind of got destroyed.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it now, but when I was racing, by the time I bought fuel and a tire for the week and getting in the pits, I'd had to win the race to break even.
Yeah. You know? It's crazy.
And even at that was $9,500 to win. It wasn't like it was $500 to win, you know?
We were racing go-karts, and there'd be guys that pull in with a full motorhome and like a 30-foot trailer for two go-karts. And you're like, what are you guys doing?
Daddy's money would do us.
Yeah.
When I was racing, you'd work on the car Monday through Friday to race one night a week, and you'd spend 6 days of the week working on the car, and
For sure, that's the other hard part about it. So much time.
So never mind crashing it and then having to fix it.
Yeah, and if you didn't crash it, you're working on it to try to make it faster. You know,
changing oils and this and that.
Yeah, so
I ran dirt, so my whole next day was usually pressure washing all the mud out of the car.
I did asphalt. I was getting the rubber out of the car.
But
iRacing, you have one bad race, though. You get on 15 minutes later, you can find another race, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to wait to race on one night a week. You can race whenever you want. There's a race somewhere.
Yeah, but that's kind of dangerous too. You know, like as I said in Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. You gotta have the self-control of I'm gonna hop off. I remember when I first got iRacing, I was honestly racing like 10 hours a day. You know, like
2 o'clock in the morning.
You would just sit and bounce, you know, like when you're a rookie.
Hosted, yeah.
You would go go from street stocks to legends. This ended. Well, I can hop in this Legends race in 10 minutes, it starts. Then you hop over there, and then you just kept bouncing back and forth all day. I remember, like, there's one day where my wife left, and I raced from the time I got up to the time I went to bed.
Yeah, it is. It could be addicting. I I enjoy the leagues. I don't really race any officials or anything else very often, and the leagues are the two to maybe three tight nights a week I'm able to get on iRacing.
Yeah, I've gone to that now. The only time I ever hop in officials is, you know, like when the Daytona 24 is coming up, I'll hop in officials. But I got my license up to an A, and it's like, well, I don't need to run that anymore. I'm good with where I'm at.
Yeah. Yep. So do you have any pre-race rituals or anything there, Kevin?
No, not so much. Friday nights is usually take a shot of good whiskey before the mayhem starts. But no, other than that, not really. I'm not very superstitious or anything.
Yeah. Do you prefer gloves or anything like that?
No, I don't use gloves. I just wear socks. I do have like my old racing shoes, but I prefer
on your hands.
No,
socks on your hands.
No. I prefer the feel of socks on the pedals on my feet.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
But no, I don't. Well, use
mittens
a glove.
Would be ridiculous.
I put like a aftermarket leather type wheel on, so I don't have Alcantara or anything.
He just cuts thumb holes in the socks so he can still use them. And
yep.
Do you use VR or anything? Triples?
Yeah. I use a Pimax 5K Super or 5KX, I think it's called. But yeah, I like VR. That's how basically I started on an Oculus way back in the day when I first started. And then I tried monitors for a little bit, but I think I just like the feel of VR better.
Yeah. Now, Patrick here, he makes these little light bars. So when they're awesome. And VR users everywhere love them.
I don't know how they can see them. But.
Yeah, that's the thing with VR is like I have a button box, I have other stuff, but I can never see it to use it. So,
I run triples and I got a Quest headset and I tried it. Just for practice, and I just after about like three or four times of trying it, I just like no, I'm just gonna stick with the triples, and I like being able to see.
Yeah, it's a lot of personal preference. Like that's not like if I want to take a drink or something when we have a caution, it's hard. I'm like feeling around like a blind guy trying to find my soda without spilling it.
Like now, what if someone breaks into your house while you're racing? And they could just stand right next to you, and you wouldn't even know it.
That's what my wife's for. And I have, we have four shepherds, so I'll hear barking way before anybody gets in the house.
I have triples, and my wife comes in here, and I have no idea she's standing there when I'm racing.
You know, you could get yourself one of them camelbacks. You have a straw right next to you, so there you could.
Yeah, honestly, I should. I should mount something like to the rig. I do. I have one of the DOF Reality motion rigs too.
Oh, so, sweet!
Yeah, it can get a little carried away. It's funny. Yeah. Some of the wrecks and stuff, it'll throw you for a loop a little bit.
Last night, you probably.
Yeah.
You went for a little spin cycle there last night, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I don't know if that was netcode or what happened there, but I think it was Vaughn, his last name.
Yeah, I think it was just side drafting gone.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm not used to that either. So the cars kind of suck together when you're side drafting.
We were actually just looking at the replays before we started podcast.
Okay. Yeah, you'll know better than me then, because I didn't go back and watch any of it. So,
yeah, it just looked like he tried side drafting you, and well, he hooked you.
It'll happen.
Yeah. So, do you have any? Who's the some of the tougher competitors that you've raced against in the leagues that you race?
Man, probably the same guys a lot of us race against. You know, Lucas is always fast. Ryan, all those guys. They're like at the front every week. Keith, he's a ball buster.
Get out of my way.
But no, yeah, I mean, you guys are all fast, so joining this league is tough. But I just watch and try to learn what I can from you guys.
Yeah. Well, I agree that like Ryan Johnson and Lucas Gortman, those guys are fast, but I don't get to race with them that often. They're always ahead of me. So
yeah, exactly. So it's pretty much whoever I'm around and, you know, whoever's kind of equal and, you know, we hang together and race in the back, but
yeah.
I don't know, in trucks, you're decent in trucks on whenever I see you running on Fridays and that.
Yeah, I mean, that like I said, I was used to the trucks, so I got faster and faster in them. So, you know, Turkel and Chris Finnegan, those guys were... Chris came on strong at the end of the season there.
Yeah.
To come back, and I think he beat Joe by a point at the end there. But, yeah, all those guys are fast and... Just try to learn what I can from everybody.
All right, man. Well, congratulations on the season that you've had before. I know that you're working hard over there at Freaky Fast, getting their Xfinity series up and going and rocking and rolling, huh?
Yeah, we're getting there. I think we're going to be on the fourth week, I think, if I remember correctly. But... what's that?
Something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, Keith and Lucas, they did the hard work for this season. So as of now, I'm just like the in-race guy. But yeah, we just try to promote and try to build it.
Pork Chop's actually our head admin for some days now. Like some days are in his control trying to get me to take a little step back and not have to worry about being the head admin on each night and just worry about all the other stuff. And, you know, he's doing a great job so far.
Well, Kevin, can I say next season, since you're in control now, don't go to ARCA. Don't go to ARCA Cars.
like I said, that one's on Keith and Lucas this well, season. So
next season is the whole thing that me and Lucas made the deal. That if he broadcasted this season, that I would broadcast next season, and it would be ARCA car because he absolutely loves the ARCA car.
Yeah.
So that's why. And the next season, it's actually a short season. It's not a long season. It's a shorter one. And then when we get into the trucks in the fall, it'll be a longer season. But yeah, that's why it's going to be ARCA. We have a little idea or whatnot for the ARCA season. We're going to test it out and stuff and see if that's actually going to happen or not. But
you better watch out when you switch to ARCA. Mini, he's going to come in there. He's secretly running an ARCA league every Wednesday.
Yeah. Actually, we went to Loudon this week, and they come up over the comms, and they're like, all right, top five will start in the rear. I was like, oh, no. And we had like 20 people. And by the first green flag run, I think I was up to like sixth or seventh. End up finishing fifth overall, but Loudon's my track. So you better have Loudon on the track, on the racetrack, on the schedule.
you gotta win a race this or finish in the top three to pick a track there, Jeff.
Ah, damn it. I ain't gonna do that.
I don't know. After some of the picks we had so far, we might not do that again.
And I think that I think what we decided to do is the champion gets to pick a track and not top three get to pick. Right. The ARCA season is it's more or less gonna follow the actual real life ARCA season. So that's like you look at that schedule, that's the kind of feel that I'll have. iRacing doesn't have a couple of tracks that they go to, so we'll be like replacing them with kind of the same thing and stuff on there. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. We're gonna have fun. Everybody's gonna have to step up their game to try and beat Lucas. But
give him each race. If Johnson can do it, anybody can do it.
I'm still gonna have to be about last night, but
so where is the stock cars? I know you guys were off last week because there was a football game being played. But yeah. Where do they go to next week or this tomorrow night?
Kansas, I believe. Unless, is that the one that you switched, Keith?
We switched. It's 2 years in a row we forgot about Super Bowl. We didn't remember the Super Bowl last year.
When was it Rockingham?
Yeah, so the schedule says Kansas, but yeah.
Yeah, what we ended up doing was, so we postponed Kansas last week because of the Super Bowl. Well, we are taking Kansas, and we are switching that with Texas. Texas is falling off the schedule, and we're replacing it with Kansas. But we will be at Rockingham this week in stock cars.
Yeah.
That's a fun track.
Good luck.
I enjoy Rockingham. It has some character to it. You know, it's not, there's not any other track out there like Rockingham.
Yeah, I used to go to that track when we ran go-karts, my brother and I. We did like a national series up and down the East Coast, and they have a go-kart track in the middle of Rockingham, which now they do it at Charlotte. But yeah, I was little back then. I used to walk up and down pit road and collect lug nuts and all that kind of crap. Never got to watch a NASCAR race there, but plenty of go-karts. Yeah.
All right, well, we did a question of the week, and speaking of tracks that you're racing near, and one of the questions that we had was, what iRacing track do you live closest to, and what track would you like to see on iRacing?
As far as closest, if you were to say NASCAR, it'd be Dover. I like going there. I'm kind of in the middle of Dover and Pocono, but the view and the racing is just so much better at Dover. I'm pretty close to Williams Grove as far as like dirt tracks. What I'd like to see, there's a dirt track called Grandview. They're known for big block modifieds and sprints and that kind of stuff. They do a couple big races every year, like it's called a 1776 race. They do like around 4th of July, that kind of stuff. But it's a pretty well-known track in my area. So it'd be just another PA dirt track, though.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of those already.
Excuse me. So we posted that up in our Discord chat. And Nick Cannon, he posted that he is close to Road Atlanta. But he would like to see Dixie and Rome Speedway from Georgia. They're two dirt tracks. And my dad actually worked at those tracks. And if you've ever watched the movie Six Pack, those two tracks were the tracks where all the racing scenes were filmed at prior to when they get to Atlanta with a cup car. But they filmed all the racetracks at the same two tracks, all the races that they go to. Those two tracks would be cool. Dixie is more well known. It's a D-shaped dirt oval, and so it would be really cool to see that one on there.
It'd be USA Speedway is the closest in Sim, but that doesn't exist anymore. So that technically it would go to Volusia Speedway Park would be the closest to me.
Yeah. Luke Smith posted that it would be Pocono, Martinsville, or Richmond. He says they're all within a similar drive.
Yeah, closest for me is Thompson. And then the NASCAR track, Loudoun's the closest one for me. And I'd like to see it. Like, they have Beech Ridge Motor Speedway closed down. It's kind of like a sister track to Oxford. So I'm sure you guys would love that. Another circle track.
Yeah.
I love driving in circles.
Yeah, Chris,
that one's different. It doesn't have as the steepness. If we come across the start finish line, you have that little hump there. That Beatrice didn't have that as bad, but it was a good race. That track I went to since I was my mom said like 6-8 weeks old, went to the races there.
Yeah,
I'd wish we'd get Oswego Speedway scanned. That could serve multiple, because you know obviously it's asphalt track, but then it also has a dirt configuration for a super dirt week.
So I was talking to one of the drivers that was sponsored by iRacing for the Pro Stocks and at Beatrice there. And as I was talking to him about scanning tracks, you know, I really want this, you know, Beatrice scan. He was saying it was like $30,000 to $35,000. That was before really kind of COVID really ramped up.
Wow.
Yeah.
So another good one around here would be Nazareth Speedway. They were like asphalt modified, so it's a pretty well known track.
Yeah.
Indy cars went there.
Yeah, Indy was there a couple times, but
North, I think, went back there.
I mean, yeah,
is that still in existence? I thought that
I think it's still there, but it's pretty much, you know, like overgrown. The grass is growing up through the track and stuff.
Kind of like a North Wilkesboro.
Yeah, I think if they were to try to scan it, it would have to be done real soon.
Yeah. Chris Edwards,
it's like the Walt Disney World Speedway down here, where it technically is still there. Although, yeah. You know, it's parking lot and access roads now.
Yeah. Yeah, we found out Chris Edwards is Keith Fonseca's neighbor. They both live close to VIR in Martinsville.
Yeah. Within an hour and a half of me, I have Martinsville, South Boston, and VIR. Wouldn't it take me long to get to Richmond or Charlotte, you know, living here. In Virginia, you know, I'm in the hotbed of NASCAR and stuff, so like it's easy for me to get to a lot of things.
Naturally, we're thinking about going down to Martinsville. I think we're going down to Martinsville for the fall race.
Nice. Yeah, the Halloween race.
Yeah. Our week trip down to North Carolina.
We're going down to go to Martinsville and wreck Jonathan Cusumano's iRating.
Again.
Yeah, I've been to Martinsville twice, man. That's a good, nice track. I love the short tracks.
Yeah, you have all the action just right there in front of you.
No matter where you sit, you can see everything.
Yep.
Yeah, so we also had some drivers that Mike Newton says he's close to Stafford Speedway, but he'd love to see Bowman Gray. And I think a lot of people would like to see Bowman Gray on iRacing.
No way. They have Bowman Gray. It's called the LA Coliseum. There.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah, exactly. Close enough.
All these people all the time, I want this track. But yeah, it would just be absolutely terrible for some of these tracks to be on iRacing because it would just. It just be crash fest, and then they start complaining. This is like, well, you're the one who wanted it, so why are you complaining?
Like going to the bull run in Las Vegas. Oh.
Somebody out there said it would be a good idea to put Mount Washington Hill Climb on iRacing. And then a lot of us out there thought, hey, it'd be a good idea to buy Mount Washington Hill Climb on iRacing.
And then you ran it for the first week, and then after that, you never used it.
Right? I always spoke about that one.
Soapbox derbies.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people.
But we all had fun, though, putting anything and everything we possibly could on that mountain, though, and see if we can get up it in every car on iRacing.
Yeah. Yeah. Dom Rossi from the Thursday Night Throwdown Trucks, he says that he is close to Lime Rock Park or Stafford Speedway. Bo Ross, Thomas Myers, he says he's close to Summit Point. DJ Trout says Kansas Speedway is the closest that he would, and he would like to see PIR, Portland International Raceway, on.
Isn't that already on?
I don't know. No. I don't think so.
Portland's not on. No.
PIR is Phoenix International.
Yeah.
I bet you if they go back there.
Yeah. Portland has one of the worst first turns in all of racing.
Yeah. Worse than Indy Road Turn 1?
Yes.
Yeah.
In Turn 1 at Portland, it's a right-hander, and then you basically, like, it's an automatically into the left. But they're so sharp of turns, like, hardly ever does anybody actually get through it without something happening. It's just, on restarts, it's horrendous.
That's like, I live close to Cedar Lake Speedway, you know, dirt track. It's about like half hour away from my house. But as for a track I want to see, I don't think that there's any that I'm ever going to really push for.
Yeah. And a track that, you know, we were talking about the hill climb, you know, if they were doing that, they should have, I thought, man, why didn't they put Pike's Peak on here? that hill climb. That would have been cool. That's a famous track there, when I was thinking about that hill climb, I was thinking that there used to be an oval track called Pikes Peak International Raceway, and I know that NASCAR doesn't go there anymore, but that would be a good one to scan.
I think that's still in existence.
It still is in existence, but NASCAR doesn't go there anymore, so
I think that'd be a good one. I think the hill climb, somebody else has the license for it.
Oh, is that what it is?
Or iRacing realized it was a bad idea after Mount Washington.
Yeah.
I want to say, though, that somebody else has the license for it, and that's why it's not on, kind of like the one sitting there, wiping out IndyCars and iRacing for a company that seems like they're nothing but a scam.
Yeah. Ryan Johnson says he lives closest to the Magic Mile, Milwaukee Mile.
Like Magic Mile, I was like, well, he doesn't live near me.
Yeah, he also would like to see Slinger added to it in Rockford because there's a group out there on wanting to get Rockford scanned for iRacing because this is Rockford Speedway's last season.
Rockford looks like it's a fun track. That's a steep track, right? Bank track.
And then,
not really, I don't think.
No. Oh, I'm thinking of Slinger, I think, right?
Yeah, Slinger is
high banked, yeah.
Next, so, I have two other tracks I wouldn't mind seeing scanned. One just to kind of preserve because it's closing down, which is a 5 mile point up in New York. That track ran its last race at the end of the last season. So I know it's gonna be bulldozed. So just to preserve it, I thought that would be nice. The other one I know is going to be impossible, but it's a road course, ironically enough, but the St. Pete Grand Prix. But I know the licensing with IndyCar plus the difficulties of scanning a street course, I know that's going to be impossible.
Yeah, but the licensing with IndyCar, that should be back to normal within a year when motorsports goes out of business.
Yeah, likely.
We can only hope they go out of business.
Oh, a track I'd like to see bulldozed in real life and on the game is Loudon.
You just broke Jeff's heart.
How could you?
Well, after he got beaten by me there, it's that track is over with.
You know that track has to be bad if Gitchell's just going out and smoking us on it.
He wasn't really smoking. He saw me in his mirror the whole race. He just lucky I didn't pull a slide job like he did on Key Fair in the corner. I was like, oh boy.
I was just happy you hit the wall and hit the incident. I mean, at this point.
God, I was driving like, okay, can't hit anything. I can't even dive bomb the guy.
Yeah, I live 45 minutes from Michigan International Speedway, and so that's the closest track to me that's on iRacing. But my local track here, Toledo Speedway, I would love to see that on iRacing. It's a high banked half mile. It's got a quarter mile inside it with a figure eight, so it adds another figure eight to the track. To the service, other than Irwindale, I think that's the only one on iRacing. But yeah, I would like to see that on iRacing. And dirt wise, like Nick Cannon brought up earlier, we talked about is Dixie Speedway. Those would be the two tracks I would love to see on iRacing. But all right, that was our question of the week. We'll come up with a new question this week. I think we already have it. We'll post it up here pretty soon.
Actually, there's one that you missed for the question of the week, the one that I really like. And this is like Dave's hot take. Is Elvis Presley overrated? Is that what that
means? Oh, yeah, that was from the podcast, yeah.
Is Elvis overrated? He's not my style.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I saw pictures of Graceland for the first time not long ago, and that was kind of overrated. You think it's like some big fancy mansion, and here it's just like a normal house nowadays.
Yeah.
In the middle of like an industrial area.
Yeah.
It's kind of
The poll that we put up was overwhelmingly no, Elvis Presley is not overrated.
It's not overwhelmingly now. I just saw the question, so I just reacted to no is it has 5, yes it has 4. So guys, go in and hit that yes.
Yeah, I think you got to look. There's that poll is up on, and Freaky Fast also, and it's 6-1.
Ooh, and people in Freaky Fast have no taste.
Like I said, he's not my style, but the guy did change the face of music, so you got to give him his credit.
And actually, the one I put one up for yes and one up for no, so everybody it would be easier for people to vote. So there's actually no people that voted. So
I'm getting over there right now.
So the actual amount would be 9-3. 9 voted yes and 3 voted no. And Elvis Presley being overrated.
Yeah, no take. Maybe that's why they're in the FFRL.
No take. Hey now.
Easy.
Shots fired. To make it up to you, Kevin, you are part of my screensaver. Enjoy that.
Oh, God.
All right. And so we went Thursday night. We went to Wednesday. I'm sorry. We have Wednesday night. We have the Stock Car Series at Sebring.
It was sports cars, but.
Or sports cars. I get it, right? There's some kind of car.
Yeah. We went to Sebring. It was a good race. It was a good battle up front. The top three, the whole race. But we had Jose Puig barely clip in Evan Hurdle at the lawn. We had JP Alfonso finishing third. Kevin Bernheimer finished fourth. We had Justin Gibbs finishing fifth in the GT3s in the Toyotas. We had David Tamara winning that. Mark Bradshaw second with Gitch's normal third place in the Toyota.
Oh, yeah, podiumed.
Every race, all you got to do is start. My Sebring was tough because I ran the 500 and jumped out of that and jumped straight into the session. It was about 7:30 when I got into the session, and my driving, you could tell that I was tired and I didn't care that much.
Followed me right into a tire barrier.
You guys were on the inside, the last corner on the inside, so I was like, okay, I'm just going to kind of stay around the outside and go around, and then you just started like pushing, and I'm like, oh god, and then yeah,
the problem I had is it was the closing rate on that straightaway between the GT3s and the Toyotas is just nuts, and with it being night, I couldn't judge how far back you really were, so I was trying to give you the room, and I just basically just went straight.
I did apologize to Xavier Moore too, that I absolutely completely destroyed him on lap 2 going into the last corner. I was right on his bumper, and the wreck was absolutely amazing to watch though. I was right on his bumper, and I didn't realize we're as far down the straightaway as we are, and I start to pull out to pass him. And, well, he hit the brakes, and I hit him and shot him onto the inside wall, and then he went for one hell of a ride that was absolutely amazing to watch. Lucas, like, has it clipped. He was flipping and spinning for, like, a good, like, solid, like, 15 seconds, just flying through the air and crap. I apologize to him. I felt bad. But he didn't mind too much. He's like, he's there to learn. I was like, thank God you're not mad, because that poor man got sent to the hospital.
Yes, and so where do you take the GT3, the sports car series to this week?
That's a fantastic question, Dave. Let me look.
Rhymes with Charlotte.
We are going to the Roval. But the Roval always, with the Rovals on, every season the Roval's on, because Roval always puts on good racing. So, yeah, then we're going to a couple of new tracks after that. We're going to COTA, and then we're going to go to Monza. So, you know, that'll be interesting.
I request we do the reverse oval layout, though.
I couldn't believe that iRacing, like, made that an actual official race going to the Monza Oval. Like, that's, like, they haven't, like, ran on that thing since, like, the 60s. It's, like, just a bump fest. It was,
You feel like you're still going to die even in the simulator.
Yeah, like, you know, like, you're just holding on for it. Me and Lucas, every once in a while, we'll jump in Carb Cup to go run it in the next gen. That's even worse, running it in that car, because all you're listening to is just banging and beating that car, bottoming out and everything, like, every 10 feet in crowds. Like, oh, I have a headache from listening to
Yeah, you got, a 10-foot drop-off at the end of the front stretch into the turn.
One of the things that Lucas loves doing, like, going down the front stretch thing, like, when you're behind somebody, you can't see in front of you. So he loves leading people towards, like, turn one right there. And he leads them right straight to the guardrail. He'll get close to it and then he'll turn, and they have no time to react whatsoever. And they just drive straight into the guardrail.
That's just mean.
It's mean, but it's hilarious to watch at the same time, too. You know, it's in a race that doesn't matter, kind of.
Especially if it's Carb Cup, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, get in there and have fun in the car.
If it was a league race or an official race, it'd be a different story. But
yeah, we wouldn't do anything, you know, like that. But you know, Lucas, you know, when he was sitting there trying to get the I rating up, you know, we go run Carb Cup sometimes, so he'd be able to race and not sit there and actually lose a bit I rating or anything like that. So, you know, leading up to Road to Pro. So we would just go do stupid things like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of crazy ideas, we took the trucks to Pocono on Thursday.
And it was a Pocono.
Oh, no.
I told Keith last week. I said, remember Pocono?
I have to admit, I was happy I left before it got really bad.
Got bad.
So the difference between our average lap times between Thursday night and Friday night was an astonishing 23 seconds.
We did 15 more laps Friday, and we finished 15 minutes sooner.
Yeah.
We had double the amount of cautions as we had lead changes. We did 60 laps. We had 10 cautions for 32 laps. And we had 5 lead changes. It definitely brought some things to our eyes of things that we need to change. But, you know, so that will be coming out. On the pole was Garrett Sidner. And outside pole, I got that. Kyle Spies was qualified third. Trout, fourth, Radke fifth. Now the race started out bad. we were going into turn one. Going into turn one, outside pole got loose. I collected it, but then coming out of turn one, Garrett got loose. And no, we just stacked up the field. And we had a caution by turn two because of that.
Hey, let's not forget about our heat race winner, Brad Pollitt.
Yeah, let's do get into that. We had Brad Pollitt lead all 10 laps of the heat race.
He got sent home the week prior to that, so he's able to race into the heat race in this week.
I honestly got worried a little bit when he, like, almost hit the wall a couple times. I'm like, come on, Brad, here. Because my whole goal was, because, you know, while during Road to Pro, I'm just coming out and racing until I have to leave. on, you know, them lights at Road to Pro are. So, like, honestly, I'm hoping people wreck out. So, like, I can, like, gain some positions at least. And I had some people below me and everything. And I was like, and then the heat race ran. I'm like, this is 10 minutes I'm losing of racing right here. I'm like, oh, and then, you know, the extra laps. And we didn't even catch up to the field at the start, too. Like,
yeah,
the green comes out and, like, we're, like, only, like, in three and everything. I was like, oh, man. I was like, but, you know, yeah, I was trying to kind of stay out of people's way because I knew I wasn't staying for the whole race. And it's a matter if more people showed up. Like, if more than 42 showed up, I wasn't going to race whatsoever. I wasn't going to take a spot from somebody knowing that I wasn't actually going to stay for the whole race.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of the heat race, we decided that we're probably going to do away with the heat races for a little bit until it proves that we need them. I don't think that we're going to have more than 42 show up anymore. Maybe at Daytona.
Yeah, Daytona, Talladega, throw heat races on for those two. But yeah, other than that, I think we could probably go away with them.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind for the plate tracks doing just like a whole like a dual setup where everybody's running a heat, but that might be a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know, that might be fun.
Yeah, at least there's heat races. There'll be entertaining heat races with more than, you know, just one or two trucks out there.
Yeah. So now Luke Smith, he qualified 7th. With our rules, he goes to the back of the bus for the start. Yeah. He worked his way all the way up to 2nd. Kyle Spies, he ended up winning the race. He led a majority of the race. He led 46 laps. Luke Smith was 2nd. DJ Trout was 3rd. Michael Miller 4th. Jeffrey Radke 5th. David Scott pulling off a really good race, finished 6th. Sid Norris 7th, Dalton McKinney 8th, Gilbert rounding out 9, and McKinney rounding out the top 10.
Yeah, I ran with Kyle Spies and Jeff Radke. Man, those guys were fast, and I was right there with them on all the way up until I wasn't.
I really like that Luke and Ryan came out this week after winning last week and showed that an EOL isn't all as bad as what, you know, people thought it was going to be. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, you guys, but at the same time, too, it depends on the track.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It's going to be different at Dover next week.
Yes, it's going to be.
No, I think Ryan will be up in front.
I don't know. I was trying to talk him into it. Into, you know, do you really want to take that EOL on the last lap?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it just adds a little bit to it. You know, a lot of local short tracks, they do that where the previous race winner has to start towards the back of the next week and just add a challenge. So it's just the Allen challenge. I mean, if by the grace of God, I ever won a race and I got an EOL, I'd be smiling all the way to the back.
Oh, yeah. And then cussing all the way to the front. You know, yeah. You know, definitely Thursday, pointing out things that we need to address. So, like, over the next couple Thursdays, I'm going to be taking off the racing and just doing race control. Just to where we can get the guys running good and clean, and hopefully it just takes a couple weeks to where then I can jump back in the truck.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Dover is next week. We made some changes to the rules. If you get a chance to look at, our rules, I posted up the, you know, no change of lanes prior to the start finish line, unless you're trying to avoid a wreck. Please stay to the right-hand side of pit road now. That's going to be on there in the rules. We want people not to hang back on restarts anymore. We've been reviewing these races at post-race, so we're reviewing each caution. We're going to hand out penalties for that. And I mean, there was a lot of dive bombing going on, so we put that in the rules. And also, we are addressing the wall riding. We're not going to allow that anymore.
Lucas.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, I'm like, did you actually do it? Yes. I'm like, did it work? He's like, yes. I was like, I'm sorry, but I thought it was hilarious when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, it's pretty funny. But yeah, like I thought, I was like, yeah, there's going to be a rule about it. Yeah, so enjoy the last time that you did it because you're not going to be able to do it again.
So we're going to change his name to Luke Chastain. Lucas Chastain.
And I think he wasted that move on race two of the season.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he finished about 60th.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have used it for a chance at a win, but nope, he used it for Pocono.
He used it for fifth place at Pocono.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyways, we went after all the hoop on Friday night or Thursday night. Friday night was the exact opposite for the second week in a row.
Yeah, Friday was quite a bit better. We had four cautions, only 12 caution laps for a 75 lap race. As I noted earlier, we went 15 laps longer than the truck race and finished about 15 minutes earlier. So that's kind of a beautiful thing right there. We had Ryan Johnson technically got the pole, but was sent to the back of the field for winning the previous week, with Garrett Sidnor finishing out the front row. And at the end of the race, we had Ryan Johnson, who led 11 laps, winning the race, followed by Patrick Anderson, Luke Smith, Jeffrey Ramsdale, and I think it's going to get reviewed, but finishing out the top five would be Lucas Chastain Gortman.
Yeah, and then, Jeff Radke finished up there again. He was running fast on Thursday. He finished in the top 10. Andrew Turner, Dalton McKinney, and Josh McKinney. Man, those guys were about around each other all night. McKinney, I called them both the brothers from another mother's. And then Keith got a top 10.
Keith ran third that whole thing and then pit and then started getting shuffled back. I think I was as low as like 20th or something and got stuck behind some slow guys, but was able to battle myself back up to 10th.
Oh, thanks for letting all of us fast guys by.
Yeah. Well, but even if Keith would have won last night, a broadcasted race, it wasn't the most important thing that happened yesterday in Keith's family.
Yesterday was my wife's birthday.
Happy birthday, Sonia.
Yeah.
She enjoyed the birthday. We went out, had a nice day together. And that's why, like, I kind of dipped out last night out of the Discord because you guys wouldn't shut up. So, like, I couldn't get an Edward. I'm leaving. So I was like, boom, I got to go.
Yeah.
Monday, when we were racing on Monday at Talladega, you know, like, our Discord, we have ARCA guys in there, and then we have truck guys. I told those truck guys, it's like, oh, my God, you guys just talk all the damn time. You guys need to shut up. It's like we're at Talladega. I mean, it's either you're going forward or you're just riding, one of the two.
So the full speed Fridays, they're going to Dover also next week with the cup cars, so it's the challenge is on to the truck guys to put on a better show than the cup guys have been doing. So far, the Cup guys have put on two great races. So come on, truckers. It's up to you.
The test will be this week.
I think it's just the difference in the truck. The truck has so much more grip and
everything than Next Gen does, so you can full send it.
Hey guys, I gotta jump off. I'll see you guys later.
All right, have a good one, Gitch.
And the Next Gen, you know, you can't quite do that, you know. So I think that's a lot of the difference what's going on with the trucks.
So yeah.
So Kevin, what happened to you last night? I see, you know, you didn't have the best of luck.
No, I did not. I got up, caught up early in the first wreck, and then I had enough body damage that I was kind of losing the pack. So once I pit, I took my quick repair. And then, yeah, not long after that is when I got caught up with the side draft and spun out pretty good, hit the wall again. And after that, just couldn't catch up with anybody.
I got you.
Yeah, body damage is not fun at that track. So
no, I learned that on Thursday. After that first lap fiasco with Sidnor when I rear-ended him, you know, like I fixed my damage. It was like lap one. I went the lap down just so I could get all my damage fixed. And when the green flag came back out, my truck was trash. So I took my fast repair, the next caution. And what do you know? 5 laps later, boom, caught up in the next one.
Yep.
And so then I just switched to race control. And near the end of the race, there's one guy within striking distance. So when the caution would come out with 3 to go and 2 to go, I would hop in my truck and turn laps. And then with 1 to go, I would pull over, exit out, and go back into being race control.
Yeah, it was a very late night, though, like the caution coming out on lap one. Like, oh, here we go. Another messy race and stuff. But, you know, it got cleaned up and ran as basically a normal race.
Yeah, I like.
Luckily, I was done enough time. I started watching the end of Lucas's race, so I got to catch his move against the wall and watch him pass Jeff.
I really liked the long, you know, like we ran 2 full fuel stops at the end. You know, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have green flag stops is always fun.
Yep. But anyways, so now we have our driver picks for this week, and Matthew Wheeler did not make a pick, so we get to make that pick for him. I mean, it's up to you guys. We get to do this on the show, but
yeah, let's do it right now.
I think Travis Pastrana would be a good choice.
Doesn't somebody already have him?
No, I changed my pick. I had Travis. I changed my pick to Jimmy.
I'm sorry.
Well, but the thing is that remember though, if he does well, he's not really running the whole season. So I didn't waste a pick on somebody else.
Yeah. Or do we waste one of Wheeler's picks? Like one of the good picks.
Yeah, but then he could win.
Kyle Larson or something. I mean, but any of our picks could win. It's Daytona.
Yeah, I know.
Kyle Larson because I don't know if I was reading an article yesterday and it has the odds of each driver to win. And Kyle Larson, he's actually like second on the number list or whatever. And Junior was like, he don't fucking belong. Oh, sorry. He don't belong here. He doesn't like super speedways. So we could waste his pick.
He said fudge. Except for exactly fudge.
I say though, let's give him Cody Ware.
That's exactly. I say that if somebody doesn't make a pick, their pick is automatically Cody Ware all season.
Oh, here. How about this one? Derek Cope.
Derek Cope? Is he in it?
Is that him in the race?
P32.
What?
That's BJ McLeod.
I don't know. I'm looking at the starting lineup. Oh,
from 1983.
I just typed in starting lineup. It has a starting lineup for the 2021. Like, what the heck?
I'll take Dale Jarrett in that case. Yeah,
all right. I'll take Sterling Marlin.
Yeah. Ernie Irvin.
Here we go.
Anybody that drove the four car?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. So we're gonna give him Cody Ware. Is that everybody's choice? Cody Ware.
Yeah.
All right. Piece of advice. But what if you don't pick twice and you use your Cody Ware up twice? We gotta give him somebody else.
And well, then we can McLeod.
BJ McLeod.
Yeah.
All right. So
what about Ty Dillon? There's a good waste pick.
Yeah.
Riley Herbst. Connor Daly. Give him Connor Daly.
We'll give him. I got Cody Ware down, so we're giving him Cody Ware.
Yeah. Oh, another. Here's a one. Give him AJ because AJ just does good at
road courses. Yeah.
I think he'll finish a couple top tens in the ovals, though. I think he was good at. Where the hell was he good? At Homestead.
Yeah, super speedway. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We gave him Cody Ware, and that'd be, we could play games with these people. If they don't make their picks, we can make their picks for them. And so if they don't want to.
Oh, we can have fun with it.
Yeah, we'll have fun with it on air. But we got any league news? I know we're working on putting together a fundraiser race. We know the track's going to be Auto Club right now, but we're still working on other. On what kind of car we're going to use at it. We're testing some different cars.
We don't have anything going on in FFRL right now. We're it's the only thing we're debating because during sports cars, we have 2 weeks off in the middle of the season. So we're thinking about maybe doing something one of them weeks. Not sure yet. We haven't really talked about it yet. But otherwise, we're kind of status quo right now.
You know, NIL has been working with SDR about how to move forward with Triple Threat. And I think we have some ideas that we're bouncing off each other. But we think it's going to be pretty cool how we move forward with Triple Threat.
I'll be excited to see what's going on.
I'm just happy to keep it going.
Yeah. I love the concept of the three on the track at the same time. It's fun.
Some of you drivers out there that are listening don't know what Triple Threat is. SDR runs a multi-class NASCAR league, so they have Cup, Xfinity, and trucks all on the racetracks at the same time. And if you think that sounds crazy, it definitely is.
Only if you're. It's only really crazy if you're in an Xfinity car. Because you're getting blown by everybody.
Yeah. But so we're working on details on that and our fundraiser race. We're not in a huge rush with either one of them because it's going to be closer to the end of the season before we have to make any decisions on it. Right now, we're going to run our next gen Cup cars on Friday nights currently for the time being, for this season. And,
so who did everybody else take then for the NASCAR picks?
I posted them up here in our podcast channel. If you look right there under driver picks, Michael Gitchell, he took Logano.
Ick.
Taco, he took Ryan Blaney, which is, it's a good pick at a restrictor plate, but. It's a restrictor plate track, so I don't want to pick somebody that could possibly win somewhere else.
Yeah.
Thomas Myers, he took Corey LaJoy, which, you know, that's the kind of pick you would want to make here at Daytona. You never know who is going to pull it off.
That'd be a good one to just see win. I like him.
Yeah. So who did you take there, Keith? You already let it out a little bit.
I got seven-time Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson. And I took Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski. I
had to get a little chunky these days.
Yeah.
I did notice that when he was walking down the pit road. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Look like Homer Simpson.
Distressing and being an owner.
Matthew Wheeler, was given Cody Ware. And Jeff, who'd you take?
I took, you took Keselowski on me, and Paps picked my other driver I was going to pick, my first driver I was going to pick. But I ended up going with Bubba Wallace.
Terrible pick. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
So we're doing this with other people too. And in that one,
yeah.
Jeff took McDowell. And then I was like, I'll take Bubba. So we swapped.
So Patrick, that means you have McDowell then?
Yep, I got Michael McDowell.
So our rules for this thing, for the driver picks, is each of us may pick a driver up to two times for the regular season, I believe. And highest finishing driver will get a point. If one of our drivers it wins the race, so if Jimmy Johnson wins the race, then Keith will get 2 points.
Whoop, whoop.
But he will not be able to use Jimmy Johnson again for the rest of the season, of the regular season.
That's all good.
Yeah. The person that receives a point must wait until Friday night or Friday to select their next driver. So anybody, once the race is over, may start selecting drivers for their pick this next week.
So it's a free for all after, yes. Not an order.
And
there's one order. Yes, the only person that has to wait is the person that won. Now, if everybody makes their picks, then they can go ahead and make their pick. But also, we've had in the past that, you know, people wait to make their pick until, or just don't make their pick. Well, then the race winner. Yeah, they're going to get Cody Ware. But the race winner can, once it's Friday, they're able to make their pick, so they don't have to wait on anybody anymore.
So, can you change your pick prior to, like, if I picked LaJoy beginning of the week, but then I want to change to Blaney? Can you make a change after you make your pick?
Yeah, as long as nobody else is
adds a driver, right?
Yeah, as long as nobody else has that driver, obviously.
Kind of like what Keith did here with Pastrana, and he took Johnson.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yes, I don't have a problem with that. You know, maybe a driver gets sick or, is not able to race or.
Or he's bad in practice, and you're like, yeah, nope.
Yeah. If someone does not select a driver, we will select one up for them on the podcast, and the person with the most points at the end of the season wins. So there's not going to be any playoffs or any resets.
So are we doing like door bumper clear? Someone's buying us all dinner?
Yeah.
Now, if you want to buy me dinner, I'll let you.
sit there and throw some money into a pot, winner take all.
Yeah, maybe we all put $5 in.
I like that.
That would buy somebody dinner, wouldn't it?
It would buy me dinner.
I get my little black book. We'll be good.
Oh my god! If he breaks out his black book and keeps track of this, I'm out.
Yeah, there's eight of us. So that'll give us there's eight of us. That'll give you $40. That's enough to go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
I don't know nowadays.
Dollar menu. Off the $5 menu, free chime.
It's gotten just as expensive to go to McDonald's as it is going to your little diners. You know, so.
Yeah, McDonald's is actually ridiculous nowadays.
Yeah.
I kind of prefer Wendy's. Just get the biggie bag and you're good.
That's what I always do now. $5.
I go there and get the $5 Biggie bag. I get my fries upgraded to a Baconator. And I do the double stack. I take the bacon off the Baconator fries, put it on the burger, and get a barbecue sauce and a barbecue bacon cheeseburger.
There you go. Life hacks by the hack.
Right.
You are a cheapskate.
You don't know that yet?
Life hacks by the... He's going to send in that $5. Jeff's going to send in a $5 pizza coupon.
No crap.
Yeah.
Here's a buy one, get one free coupon.
Here's an IOU. You're going to want to keep that one. $275,000.
But, all right. Well, that's all we got. This podcast has gone on quite a while, and people shut this off a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I got some points here, Dave.
Points still. So points here.
If anybody's curious about
points. Nobody's listening anymore.
I know, right? Well, we got the truck points here. We got Luke Smith leading the points. He's 36 points above the cutoff line. He's got two top fives and two top tens. He's the only person in the league to have two top fives and two top tens. Top fives, anyways. Kyle Spees is in second. Gary Sidnor is in third. Dalton McKinney is in fourth. David Scott's fifth. Josh McKinney is sixth. Corey Stahl seventh. Harold Donner is eighth. Mike Toomer Jr. ninth. Richard Crane 10th. Bobby Anderson and Jonathan Cusimano are your playoff lock drivers. Jonathan Cusimano is 4 points above the cutoff line. And then for Full Speed Fridays here, Ryan Johnson, winning two races, is 34 points above the lead.
Can we give him two EOLs next week?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, you know.
EOL, I can accidentally hit that button.
Yeah, he's in race. He's like, I can give you the EOL. Oh, shoot, yeah, you can. Don't do that. We got Luke Smith, which, surprising, is 1 point behind Johnson in the points here. And we got Lucas Gorman third, Patrick Anderson fourth. Jeff Ramsdell fifth, Andrew Turner sixth, Joshua McKinney seventh, Keith Fonseca eighth, Bobby Anderson ninth, Jeffrey Rathke 10th, Kevin Bernheimer 11th, Stephen Wood 12th, and Corey Stahl are tied for that last playoff spot. And while we're talking here, I end up doing the overall points here. I'll do the top five for them. Luke Smith is out to a 49-point lead. He's had some good races. He's due for a couple bad ones, I believe. He's in the lead there with 181 points. Josh
McKinney. Don't you wish the evil on him, Ricky Bobby?
Yeah. Is that a threat?
You know, I've had some bad races. Everyone needs some bad races. Me and you, Patrick, we've had truck bad races. You know, somebody else has some bad races.
Yeah, with my bad races, I'm just taking myself out of the truck. Trucks just right away.
Are you putting Cody Ware in the truck?
Yeah.
I got Josh McKinney is in second. Corey Stahl's third in points overall. Lucas Gortman is in fourth, running only three races. Bobby Anderson is in fifth. And those are your top five in the overalls. And these will be posted this weekend in the Discord if everyone wants to go take a look at them.
Yep. Yeah, so that's a pretty awesome prize to win for being the overall league winner. So wish I could have an opportunity of doing that, but
we got to pay speed for it.
Well, speed would be my biggest problem of winning it. You know, I'm not fast enough. That'd be the problem.
Oh, you definitely show speed.
Yeah, but Kevin, do you got anybody you'd like to thank while you're sitting here listening to this nonsense?
Thank all you guys for having me on this morning. Back Row Esports, they're the team I started with, pretty much still with to this day. Yeah, other than that, that's about it.
All right, man. Well, next week we're gonna have tentatively we got Brendan Grover. He's our broadcaster on Thursday night. He's gonna be our podcast guest next week. Backstretch Productions, they broadcasted our truck race this last Thursday. Lucas Gortman, he does a great job broadcasting the FFRL races. So you got to watch for Downforce Sports Network on Facebook and Liberty Racing Network broadcasting on Friday nights, the Full Speed Fridays. Check them out on Facebook and YouTube. But with that being said, we'll talk to you guys next week here on the Not So Fast Podcast.
Later.
Later.
Have a good one, everybody.
Coney Setup Shop. Our setups, your victories. Custom-built setups for any asphalt oval car. Weekly setups for asphalt and dirt oval cars. Private one-on-one driver coaching. Consultation with knowledgeable iRacing experts. Get your setups today. Use code SDRL for 20% off.